to Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting firehose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. We'll begin by venting about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in the segment we call We See You, and then we'll end with something hopeful.
That sounds good.
Yeah, you liked it?
I like that plan. Hey, that sounds great.
It's the same plan we've had, but I think we should stick to it.
I like it.
So I guess we're going to go a little off our plan because we were just talking about something before we started recording. And we were like, we should talk about this, even though it's like a little uncomfy. George H.W. Bush passed away. And there has been, I think, in both of our circles, on the liberal left, people who are just kind of like, fuck him, good, he's dead, you know, because of the way that he mishandled a lot of things, including the AIDS epidemic. And then we were talking about how, I don't know, at least me, it makes me, it's hard to find the line. You know, if Hitler or Donald Trump died, I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't make a meme about it, but like, I'd be cool with it.
Yeah.
And I think it just, I don't know, it just depends where your personal line is. But with this, I'm just, I don't know, it's like someone just died. Even, no one's perfect. I have family members and people I love who I don't agree with everything or even half of what they believe. And if they died, I'd be devastated, and reading shit about them online would make me hurt more. And I just, I don't see the value in sort of rigging someone over the coals as a human being when you can still discuss the policy differences and discuss like what you believe and where they fell short without sort of making these memes about how they're burning in hell. You know, like, it just, I think we need a little more like compassion, I guess, which might get me raked through the coals, but you know, I think there's a way to discuss it and discuss his shortcomings and the ways in which he failed certain groups of people and not do it in a way that, you know, tears the heart out of the people that loved him.
Yeah.
You know, and he also, I feel like did he grab butts? I think he might have grabbed butts, too.
There were reports that, like in the early 2000s, he might have grabbed a butt. That has not been substantiated fully, but that was definitely something that has surfaced. And and I remember when that came out, that made me pretty sad because I was just like, that's a bummer. No pun intended.
A bummer. Oh. All right, the end.
We're done for today. No, I think it's really uncomfortable, and it's a hard one to sort of parse through because, you know, I don't want to sort of like, there's no good in like producing a hagiography or like treating people just because they pass away as like, you know, saintly.
Right. Exactly. There's no need for that.
But. Or like a titan of American politics, which like I also don't necessarily think he was.
No, I'm no great fan of the man, but he was a human and
widely considered to be someone who was extremely nice and loved his country. Something you could also say for Bush Jr.
Right, even though, oof.
Like,
oof,
bummer. Oof. Again, like, not,
I think
someone,
he's just a dumb guy in the wrong job, you know?
Yeah.
And that's hard to parse out. It's like, you did these horrible things that ruined and ended lives.
Yeah.
But if you're not, it's such a big question, you know? It's like, you had there, I don't know if there was an intent there. And even if there was, there's no way to know that. And so what, I just don't see the point in, again, dragging someone over the coals who's died for these things when you can just, because we don't know, when you can just discuss these things and these issues and where we can go now and where we've fallen short in the past, and without making the people that are mourning them more upset.
Right.
You know, it's just like, you don't, no one's perfect and some people are more flawed than others, but like, I don't see the value in it, I guess. I don't see how that helps move anything forward, how that helps a movement, how that helps anything that people are concerned about that he failed on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see that.
I think, and like, you know, when I'm trying to put myself in the position of people who, at least on Twitter, have been really pretty brutal.
Really brutal. Upset. I'm like, I thought I was a fucking liberal ass bitch. Yeah. And I'm seeing this shit. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, calm down.
Yeah. Like, I think, I mean, the bitterness that I'm sure that I would feel if I had been alive and watching my friends pass away in front of me.
Lost a loved one to AIDS.
Yeah. Or multiple people or
that'd
a huge
do
community.
It,
yeah. And I think that if that was happening when Bush was president and then he finally passes away, I think that would color my, I might be like, yeah, and fuck you, you know,
yeah.
like dancing
I
on
get
your grave.
That. Yeah.
Even though, oh, it's really, really gnarly to think about and sad and mm-hmm. and just also in an era where there are so many people currently in like the mm-hmm. political landscape that really do deserve to burn in hell slowly mm-hmm. that I just do not have a lot of spare ill will to just toss around to HW, who I think seemed like a flawed but very good man. I mean, flawed and someone I disagreed with in politics and who really fucked a lot of stuff up. But he also had a really, it seems like, a moderated globalist perspective that helped usher, like, you know, the USSR mm-hmm. into a sort of peaceable relationship with yeah. like the world after the Berlin Wall came down. Like he did a lot awesome. Of stuff that was okay. I mean, and a lot of bad stuff. And the Iran-Contra, you know, he was a one-term president. He went from mm-hmm. he's really fascinating when you like.
He's very interesting.
Listen to what his legacy, like mm-hmm. what his life, I mean, he was so popular, he totally trounced Dukakis.
Dukakis.
Oh, yeah. Like, Dukakis. He seemed like a solid guy. but then to lose, but I guess we're also so thirsty for, oh God, I don't want to say the word civility, but like for a politics that is not so nasty.
Yeah, I think pre-Trump we'd maybe have a different conversation about this.
Yeah.
And he did, I mean, this is also like, it doesn't make up for anything, but like in 1990 he gave a speech about AIDS and he called for compassion towards people with AIDS and said him and his wife had lost friends who had died from the disease. And again, that's not enough, but I don't see him as this villain. At the same time, I did not live through that era, and you know, I have a lot of, you know, I'm part of the queer community, I have a lot of queer friends. And I think if this had been happening now, if I was part of that time, I could see how I would have that perspective being kind of like, fuck you. But given the place I'm coming from and the time I'm coming from, I'm just kind of like, man, at this point, I don't know if I just lowered my bar, but it's just like, if you tried your best.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it cared about people, you know, we can talk about the mistakes you made, and we should talk about the mistakes you made, mm-hmm. and the ways to not make them again, and the ways to ensure that going forward policy is different, and, you know, political leaders are different, but I just don't see the point in dragging a dead man over the coals, putting yeah. his family through suffering, who, yeah, you know, we all know his son, and a lot of people disagree with his decisions. I do too. Besides for his, you know, decision to paint pets.
Yeah,
I think that's a great one.
Yeah.
We don't know everyone in his. You know, it's just humans are complicated. Life is complicated, and I think when we lose sight of our compassion and our humanity, it's just a dangerous thing. And I understand the anger. And again, like if Trump died tomorrow, it'd be hard for me to not celebrate. And that
I'd
is,
only be bummed
that is, like, the worst part of my soul coming out. But, yeah. like, truly, I don't think I'd be upset about it. And, you know, it says more about me than anything else. But
I'd be upset that he died before he could face the consequences. Not that he really, but he's too stupid.
Well, then Mike Pence is around. He's going right. to just put us all in Handmaid's Tale. But, no, I think in any moment, especially today, we just need to stop and think and remember that, like, we're humans.
Yeah.
You know, we're all humans.
Yeah.
Just remember that for like a fucking second and then go on. And if you still want to like make those memes, do it. Like, freedom of speech, live your life. I understand the pain that he, you know, that has been caused, but just, it's the, God, man, the internet.
Yeah. It's a dark place.
It's a dark place. And it's, and people who are grieving will read that stuff.
Yeah.
They will read that stuff and it will fuck with them for the rest of their life. So let's just like cool our jets for a minute and disagree on the policies and write really well-written things about it and talk about why it was wrong and what should have been done differently and how we can change it in the future. But just calling a dead man awful and terrible and evil is not doing anything,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's complicated. It sucks.
It's complicated. It sucks so much.
It does.
I wish it was black and white.
But there's
like a bad liberal.
No, I think it's okay to call for compassion, especially, you know, when...
He's dead, man.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
What are we doing? He's dead. Like, we're not going to change his mind on anything or correct anything he did wrong. He's dead. His family's alive. Let's have compassion for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's, and you know, and there's so many other things to really focus our negative energy on.
Let's do it, baby. What do you think?
Let's like, yeah. I mean, we, like this week we were saying like, we're basically going to have to breeze past most of the Mueller stuff because it's so in flux right now.
It's always Mueller time.
It's always Mueller time. This week seems hot in a great way.
I just want you to repeat that. I want that to be my alarm in the morning. Erin, today's going to be hot in a great way. Please.
Sunny with the chance of indictments. yes. But I'm very much looking forward to Mueller's Friday. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in court explaining exactly, giving evidence about why Trump's former.
I'm so excited. Yeah. And they always start with the bottom feeders, you know what I mean? So it's like they haven't even interviewed the top people. They have to have all this information that they're going to give us. It's going to be great. I'm going to get my popcorn out. Got my Häagen-Dazs bars.
It's going to be great. I mean, so can't wait to hear all that about how Paul Manafort breached his contract or his agreement with Mueller. Just as a reminder, he's already been found guilty of 8 counts, 5 counts of subscribing to false income tax returns, 1 count failing to report his foreign accounts.
Whoopsies.
And 2 counts of bank fraud.
Oh, no.
So can't wait. But winter's coming for these fools, finally.
Get your pockets on, bitches, because it's time to get fucked.
Speaking of fools, Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress.
He's so sad.
He denied initially that the, you know, he had been negotiating with Vladimir Putin about that Moscow hotel deal. Mm-hmm. So it turns out, and he said he never spoke to Trump about it. Turns out he spoke to Trump 3 times about it and was doing that all the way through to June 2016.
But, he wasn't elected yet, right? But then, oh, wait.
Also, like, you weren't dealing with Moscow developers. You were dealing with Vladimir Putin directly.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's a different thing.
And by the, between, like, writing that update and, like, us recording now, Roger Stone is pleading the fifth. You have the right to not incriminate yourself.
Yeah, explain to our one South African listener. Shout out.
Woo!
We see you on the map.
Yeah. The Fifth Amendment is the right to not incriminate yourself, which means that if you're not speaking and you're pleading the Fifth, doesn't 100% mean you're guilty, but it's not a good sign if you just don't want to.
What are you not saying? You know?
And then, like, 5 minutes ago, we just learned that Flynn, like, is...
Quite literally, like, 5 minutes ago.
Mueller isn't going to be asking for any jail time for him because he's provided substantial evidence.
Yep. He's got shit to do.
And there are like multiple criminal investigations that are all blacked out.
It thrills me. I think I might have a really lovely Christmas this year. Yeah. Also, I want to point out that Maria has some very cute snowman towels.
Oh, yeah. Those are from my mom.
I know they're from your mom. Where yeah. are my towels, Patty? I hope you're listening. I'm waiting. Continue.
Yes, yes. It's going to be a Merry Christmas for everyone. So that's at least good and kind of delicious, and I can't wait. But kind of on the opposite end, we also just a brief update on Jamal Khashoggi.
Oh my gosh.
The brutal murder of a Washington Post journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. I'm just going to keep saying it.
Good.
So CIA Director Gina Haspel was finally allowed to brief the Senate on this killing. The Trump administration had tried to prevent her from speaking publicly about it, or not even publicly, but to the Senate in a closed session. And they opted to have Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speak last week, and it was so embarrassing and backfired into such a wild degree that, like, there was bipartisan legislation to basically have the U.S., like, really pull out of Yemen, which is, like, I that floored me that there was a piece of bipartisan, like, Mike Lee and Chris Collins from Connecticut. Like, what? That was crazy. So, anyway, Gina Haspel briefed the Senate today, and... Oh, just a reminder, when Mike Pompeo was talking to the press last week, he said that he hadn't listened to the audio of the killing because he, quote, doesn't speak Arabic and, quote, isn't sure what more he learned. So, anywho.
How about all the million translators they got on your fucking payroll, sir?
Yeah, I feel like you could learn a couple of things by listening to it.
Men don't listen. Oops, sorry.
Sorry. No,
sometimes men listen. People, sorry. Misandry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Hashtag not all men. Really not all men, but like, cool it.
A lot. But a lot.
Stop yelling at me, you guys.
I know. Everyone's screaming. Yeah. But I just think it's cray that... even in this deeply partisan era, after Gina Haspel today briefed the Senate, Republicans, including like Lindsey Graham and Bob Corker.
Lindsey Graham.
I know. He actually said, so here are some quotes, which are pretty telling.
Sam in his voice.
I'm not going to use his voice. That makes me,
tried my hardest.
Not going to happen. I already said hot, hot, hot.
Fine. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah. I mean, Corker basically said that it's clear that MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, who's the prince of Saudi Arabia, quote, ordered and monitored the killing. He owns it, Corker told CNN, and if he were in front of a jury, he would be convicted of murder in about 30 minutes. And Lindsey Graham said, Bob Corker said, he murdered him, no question in my mind. I almost had no question before the briefing, and now I have no question. And then Lindsey Graham said, there's not a smoking gun. He said, there's a smoking saw, referring to the bone saw.
That makes me want to cry and punch Lindsey Graham in the face.
Yeah.
That was truly awful.
So that's just an update, and just so everyone, we're all on the same page. Trump.
What fucking, God. Yeah. Humanity, again, can people be fucking people?
Trump has been. No, it's just like this one really, really, this one really gets me. I mean, Trump has been covering this up and downplaying it. Everyone should check out his incredibly embarrassing, poorly written statement defending MBS and saying that, like, he basically gives a lot of money to the U.S. And we know that Trump has a bunch of business ties in Saudi Arabia. So those are the reasons. And also there's no direct evidence linking. It's like there is so much evidence, and the story has changed so many times from the Saudis. I'm not going to get into it again, but like, it is clear that the Saudi prince ordered the brutal dismemberment of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The fact that the U.S. is still like covering for Saudi Arabia is so horrific and sends such a terrible
wildly
precedent.
Disgusting. I'm really disgusting. Horrifying and depressing when you think, again, humans, y'all. He was a human person who was about to get married to the love of his life, who was waiting outside for him as he was being dismembered.
Yeah. And I can only imagine how his children, like, feel about, you know, like.
I cannot imagine that pain of, because it's so preventable, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's not like, oh, an illness took them, or it's, they were murdered because of the job that they did well. And it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am happy to bring him up as much as possible because he deserves to be remembered, and journalists do really important work.
Yeah.
And, you know, ugh. Fuck you, Donald Trump.
Ugh, yeah.
But he's, you know, but Jared Kushner's BFF, his play date, he's got to, you know, got to maintain that, right?
Well,
try for Ivanka to go down.
I know. That would be, it would be really sweet to see some actual consequences
right?
come down on
that's
those
my fear,
people.
Is that none of these motherfuckers are going to have any consequences for their actions when so many ordinary humans have consequences for actions that they don't even really take, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue.
Yeah, no, I know. But yeah, it's
sidebarring our conversation.
But we also wanted to focus today because something that's happening that is so important domestically.
Oof.
And it's after the election, and it's I fear that it's going to come and go without people really fully understanding just how insidious and dangerous and dark this is, these precedents that are being mm-hmm. set. And especially because there's rhetoric, a lot of the times I feel like I hear from conservatives, Republicans, you know, defending, you know, it's so easy, the language of patriotism, defending our country, defending democracy, and like, democracy is under fire in big and small ways, domestically and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just look at some of the disgusting, undemocratic, unconstitutional
yes.
power grabs that are happening right now in lame duck, which is like a term for when
define
basically
it, baby.
It's like a term for when the government is about to be out of power, and there's a little bit of time where the new government hasn't been is not sworn in yet, so it's called lame duck.
And new sketchy shit.
Yeah, I was like looking at the etymology, and it's sort of weird. It's like, was the first seen in like the 18th, you know, in the 1800s.
I mean, it's a little mean to ducks.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't really.
We're not in
weird.
The business of disenfranchising ducks here, but a term's a term, babies.
So anyway.
Should we come up with a new one? How about just butthole? Butt shits.
Yeah.
Maria's on board. They're called butt shits now. They're called butt shits.
Lots of butt shits.
Lame
sessions.
Butt shits.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. So, no, yeah. So, what should we start? Where should we start? We have a few states that we want to call out.
Do you
want
to start with Michigan?
Sure.
And I'll move to Ohio.
Yes.
For the butt shits.
So, in Michigan, and just as like another little like thing, just so there was a blue wave. Not sure if you heard about it,
mm-hmm.
But instead of Republicans really taking stock of where they're at and maybe thinking about how they could appeal to more voters, they realize that they're losing very rapidly and like demographics are turning against them. And the only way that they can maintain any power is to cheat or to rig the system against them while they still have power. So that's what mm-hmm. they're doing. So in Michigan, there are, again, like the Republicans are out and the Democrats are coming in January. Michigan voters had voted to raise the minimum wage, and that passed with flying colors. In the Republican-held lame duck butt-shit Senate right now, they're changing the minimum wage. They would slow the planned increase from $9.25 to $12 an hour. The $12 an hour rate would happen in 2030 instead of 2022, which is mind-boggling in terms of inflation. $12 an hour kicking in, like, in 18 years? Okay. Hey. It's not even adequate now.
Right. Spaceships are going to cost a lot more than that.
So they're trying to put that into law before the Democrats come in. And then they also want to cap the minimum wage for tipped restaurant workers at $4 an hour.
Jesus.
And and then gut and then just like not raise their minimum wage to $12 an hour at all, which is also in the works if Democrats had power.
Casual.
So that's the minimum wage. For paid sick leave, they're revising the paid sick leave law to exempt companies with fewer than 50 employees, and they would have the minimum amount of hours that employers would be required to provide for their employees. So from 72 hours a year to 36 hours. But anyone with less than 50 employees, all those companies don't have to have to provide any paid sick leave. This would affect, bless you.
Thank you. Apologies.
This would affect more than...
Allergic to bullshit.
Yeah, seriously. More than 160,000 Michigan small businesses, so that collectively employ more than 1 million workers. And so you're looking at 1 million workers possibly not having any paid sick leave. So that's fucking bullshit. And then when you actually like get a quote from one of these assholes, the speaker, the Republican speaker, Tom Leonard, you know, he defended the sneaky power grab by saying that they want to make certain, we want to make certain we're protecting the intent of these citizen initiated laws, but also protecting workers and those job providers here in the state of Michigan. And then his example, his anecdote of like why they won't provide paid sick leave. Quote, if all four employees of a landscaping company decided to collude and call in sick one day, it could essentially shut down a small business, and we don't want to see that happen.
Oh, that sick day collusion.
Ugh.
We've all done it. Nope.
No. And he also, like, referred to the citizen initiative as, quote, sloppily written, which is rich, considering that one of the side issues with these hastily compiled overhauls of public will, like, things that Michigan voters voted into law and they're now overturning before the Democrats can get into office. One of the side issues is that they're writing them so quickly that they're not consistent with all the different state statutes, which will create chaos in the next election, which only benefits them because people are confused and unable to vote, and there's lots of just misinformation flying around, and that only benefits them. So that's fucking bullshit. Michigan, get your shit together.
Ohio.
End scene.
Ohio. Cleveland works. Yeah, so I will say John Kasich kind of... I will not say impressed me, but he was less bad than I thought he would be. But then I thought about the fact that he's, you know, he ran up his term and maybe he's looking for another run. But either way, there were several things where I was like, all right, your opinion on this matter is different than I would have thought. In the interest of bipartisanship, I acknowledge that. However, let's dive into it.
Get
and also,
into
he's
it.
Shitty on reproductive rights. And that
he's very
is
bad.
Always going to be enough for me to be like, fuck you. But
yeah.
Again. Sorry, Dad. He's not that
sorry,
great.
Sorry, Jimbo.
All right. Let's talk with abortion. Start with
Get
abortion.
In there.
All right. The heartbeat bill, for people who are not familiar with it. So heartbeats generally happen on an ultrasound at around 6 weeks. So the heartbeat bill, it's kind of common in states. It's a 6-week abortion ban. So that essentially means you cannot have an abortion after 6 weeks. So that's on the docket. And most people don't know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. It's
no.
Super duper 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 early. And actually the Ohio House passed the bill on November 15th, so it's awaiting a vote in the Senate. And Jamie Miracle, cool last name, Jamie, of Narrow Pro-Choice Ohio, has said that if it does clear the General Assembly, abortion rights groups would immediately sue to block it from taking effect while the law is litigated. And again, I feel the need to reiterate, women don't usually know they're pregnant at 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of reasons for that. You don't normally have symptoms until later, and yeah, million reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
However, one reason they might not push this through, so the new governor-elect, because John is, you know, he reaches term limits, new governor-elect Mikey... he's promised to sign the heartbeat bill once he takes office in 2019. So there's a chance they're not gonna try to get that through because, they sort of have a guaranteed signature in a few months. So, cool. Mm-hmm. And then other anti-abortion proposals include a bill to require aborted fetuses be buried or cremated, which is just really awful and traumatic to people who have to go through that. And there's a proposal to ban an abortion method called dilation and evacuation, which is commonly used in the second trimester. And then there's another bill coming out that, to be fair, it's unlikely to pass, but came from two GOP lawmakers, would ban all abortions.
Like unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. And the sponsors of the proposal know it would draw, you know, an immediate legal challenge, but think it's a good option in the fight to overturn Roe v. Wade.
What a treat. And we
what
now
a treat.
Have...
And now let's talk about gun control in Ohio. Wow. Mm. So again, another thing Kasich was good on, but I want to give him credit where credit's due, but I'm also not like, I'm kind of a skeptic because he's peacing out, so it's a good opportunity for him to be more moderate, but also, okay. I'm confused, you guys. So House Bill 228 is a standard ground bill. If you're not familiar with that, it weakens a bunch of gun safety laws and has been shown in other states to kind of put people of color disproportionate at risk. You know, it's the kind of thing where if you're frightened, you can use lethal force to avoid punishment on your account legally. And there is one gun bill that Kasich does not want to approve. It's called the Red Flag Law, which allows people to ask a court to confiscate someone's firearms if they seem to pose a threat. So that's like if you have a loved one, a family member, a friend who you know is kind of is not in a good place mentally or emotionally, and you and other people who know this person sort of file something with the court to confiscate their firearms, this would prevent that from happening. So he does support that. There are other gun-related proposals. There's one that would eliminate the requirement for those with concealed handgun licenses to tell police they have a gun in their vehicle, which doesn't seem like a good idea to me, but, you know, what do I know? And another would allow people in Ohio to carry concealed firearms without a license. Again, that one is not likely to pass, but that's on the docket. And Democrats introduced a bunch of things like banning bump stocks, but there's not a good chance of those passing in Ohio. And two quick more things, renewable energy. So Republican lawmakers in Ohio trying to roll back or repeal renewable energy standards, which require utilities to sort of ratchet up their use of renewable energy, which would lead to more wind and solar developments in Ohio, which I believe to be a good thing, but you know, what can you do? I lied. Now two more things. Right to work. Clermont County Representative John Becker still beating the drum for the anti-union right to work legislation. His proposals would ask voters to decide whether to eliminate any requirement to join a public or private union. So it's not expected to go much further, but that's happening. And then one good thing in this Ohio situation, it's about critters. House Bill 523. It's adapting mandated reporting laws to include reporting animal abuse and other things. So that's good. You should report animal abuse. Shouldn't abuse animals. Should also care about people. But, you know.
Yeah.
It is a good thing. I'm an animal lover, Riri, but
yeah.
Humans matter too.
Humans
but
matter.
But again, it is important to have that legislation on the books as well. So I will do a small clap for that because,
yeah,
you know, defenseless creatures should be protected as well. But why don't they care about people too? I don't know. Whatever. Continue. Your turn.
Well, mine's back to lame duck bullshit, lame duck fuckery. In Wisconsin, the Governor Scott Walker lost his bid for re-election. He failed his presidential run. He has been wildly unpopular, weakened unions, and really brought down the entire Republican Party in Wisconsin in a high election there was a huge election turnout in Wisconsin this year. 2.7 million voters cast ballots. Every statewide Republican candidate was defeated. Attorney General, Secretary of State, State Treasurer, Lieutenant Governor. Bye-bye.
Bye.
But unfortunately, because the state was super gerrymandered, 54% of November 6 voters preferred Democrats, but Republicans won 63 of the 99 assembly seats. So even though Democrats won the majority, because the districts are heavily gerrymandered, and this is widely considered one of the most uneven playing fields in the country right now in terms of gerrymandered districts. That's kind of like what's going on in Wisconsin. So there's a lame duck session right now, and they're trying to push through a whole bunch of bullshit. They're trying to roll back early voting. So Republicans in Congress are the state Congress are proposing to dramatically restrict early voting. That has been something that's played a critical role in increasing voter turnout in Wisconsin. Right now, there's a flexible 6-week early voting schedule, and they want to roll it back to just a two weeks of early voting, which is far more restrictive. They're proposing to preserve conservative control of the state Supreme Court by changing the 2020 election dates to avoid high voter turnout when the court seat is chosen on April 7th. So they're proposing to move the state's presidential primaries from April 7th to March 10th. And that is mostly so that Governor Walker's untested appointee to the Supreme Court there, a conservative judicial activist, LOL to that fucking like sentence, Daniel Kelly, will have an easier time. So Wisconsin county clerks have warned everyone that that's going to cost the state about $7 million to switch the dates and create a lot of confusion and lead to logistical nightmares for clerks and poll workers, which is of course what they want. Mm-hmm. But $7 million, are you fucking kidding? For no reason except to depress turnout. And then they also want to limit the power of the state attorney general. So another ridiculous and unconstitutional, it would seem, on its face proposal is that they want to allow the legislature to substitute the attorney general with a taxpayer-funded, handpicked private attorney when their laws are challenged in court. So when their laws are challenged, the attorney general can't be a part of it. The Republicans get to pick their own lawyer, private lawyer, and then the taxpayers have to pay for that. Because of what they've put in place that will be challenged, fuck you.
Yeah, they'd pick the worst guy in Law and Order SVU. You know what I mean? Like the worst lawyer.
Yeah. Have a mustache twirling.
Mustache twirling for sure.
Oh my God. So that's gonna, so they're gonna try to deal with that. That's insane. And thankfully, the Democratic incoming governor has threatened to sue this. And, apparently there was a similar initiative. They tried to pull it in 2016 and it was ruled unconstitutional. So hopefully if they actually do get it through, it'll be struck down. But another thing, a little nugget, because it wouldn't be a Republican bullshit situation without a tax cut. So there's a proposed tax cut buried in this power grab. And last night, Monday night, there was this committee hearing there were lots of protests going on outside. But essentially, when people were trying to figure out exactly what income level would benefit from this little tax cut that's kind of buried in there, the Legislative Reference Bureau responded that the people that would benefit are couples with an income of over $200,000 a year. And apparently there were audible gasps in the room because, the estimate from this Legislative Reference Bureau is that this would reduce Wisconsin tax revenue by $60 million, all to benefit, all those vulnerable rich couples making over $200,000 annually.
They need their rugs.
Yeah, fuck these people. And so apparently the full vote, so the committee vote was last night. The full vote's going to happen tonight around midnight Central Time, which is ridiculous. Like, democracy truly does die in darkness. If you want to follow, there's a lot of, like, the hashtag is, like, Wisconsin, hashtag Wisconsin Power Grab. And Ben Winkler and Randy Bryce, a.k.a. Iron Stash, have a lot of great, like, up-to-the-minute coverage and commentary on this power grab. But it really is, like, it's something that, you know, a lot of, most people don't pay attention to, but this is, like, this is real, and this is going to have a huge impact on the incoming Democrats and their ability to push their priorities.
Yep.
That the voters overwhelmingly voted for. It's just, like, we have to be able to respect the democratic process. It's so scary that we're not collectively. Anyway, that's Wisconsin.
Spooky and a half, my love.
Yeah.
I'm in North Carolina. So, baby girl, let's talk absentee ballots to start.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the 9th in North Carolina, so ballots are counted, and Republican Mark Harris was ahead of Democrat Dan McCready by only 905 votes after they were counted. However, there was some fishy business at play there. The state officials are now investigating allegations that absentee ballots were tampered with. There are a lot of people reporting that they were sort of taken from their property. There were similar signatures on dozens of ballots as witnesses. And adding to the mix, a locally known Republican consultant who was previously convicted of fraud and was an absentee ballot collector, so she was in the mix. And when you look deeper at the votes, the Republican Johnson, he received 98% of the absentee by mail ballots, the total of 221. Harris received 4 votes. Now, when you look at the general election, Harris received 61%. And in this county, Bladen County, and it doesn't check out. So it seems as if people were taking these ballots from people's homes and improperly filling them out, submitting them. And you look at sort of the comparisons between the votes in the most recent election, the one before that, it's, for lack of a better term, sketchy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are investigating that. I mean, it seems like a smoking gun to me. And then there's a couple other things they're up to in North Carolina. I mean, that's sort of the big thing. There's also sort of a voter ID law. They want to carry out a new constitutional amendment mandating photo ID, which, you know, disproportionately affects marginalized communities generally. And then when you talk about wind energy, so there's been a controversial ban on new wind farms, which is supposed to end on January 1st. But it looks like the author of the ban, Harry Brown, is going to try to push to extend it or make it permanent beyond its expiration date. So that's a lot of stuff. I mean, the big thing is those ballots. Also, about those absentee ballots, every single unaffiliated voter and every registered Republican, and some Democrats voted in that, I'm doing air quotes, voted to for the Republican to win in those absentee ballots. So it's beyond sketchy.
Yeah, and it's sort of like there's so many sketchy pieces to the North Carolina District 9 absentee ballot issue that it's just worth, like, people just looking into and
Google
really
it.
You know, because statistically it's almost impossible that the votes would be cast in this way.
4 votes, really.
It's just like it makes no sense. It's not in keeping at all with Well, it's statistically improbable, and it is interesting. Mm-hmm. I was listening to 538 podcast, which is like they do like election stats for people who don't know, and they were talking about just how it's interesting that in other scientific fields, numbers are indicative of something that you might be that would hold up in court, basically saying like, well, you know, scientifically, these numbers indicate this. But if you're talking about politics and you say scientifically, it's a statistic, it's statistically improbable to the nth degree that the voters would, the voting would turn out this way. You would, in order for the Republican to have gotten this percentage, you would have needed all the Republicans, all the independents, and Democrats, which is not the trend that was shown in any other districts in North Carolina.
Right.
And not in keeping
by
with,
a hair.
Yeah.
And people reporting that their shit was taken.
Yeah.
You know, like
that someone was coming by and saying, I'm here to take your absentee ballots and like throwing them in the trash.
Yeah, literally
like,
throwing them away.
That's that is actual voter fraud that the Republicans seem to think happens
it's
all
only
the time.
Bad if it negatively affects white people, Maria.
It's
remember.
Insane.
Garbs.
So I look forward to just hearing kind of, you know, what happens with that. But it's just like there's a bunch of fuckery happening. Even when Democrats do win, like we're getting like boned by the
not in a fun way.
Yeah. By the like petty, undemocratic Republicans. And they're just not worthy of even the title of the grand old party, the GOP. You know, it's like grand old party. You guys
grand
are
grand old poop.
Worse. Good one.
Thank you. Should we do a few we see as then go to a good thing? I feel like
there's so many bad things just like
we
in
just
a row.
Went hard on the things. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah? Let's do a few of those.
Alrighty. I mean, I think it's kind of fun that Deutsche Bank headquarters were raided Thursday.
Yay!
Hooray! In part of a probe into money laundering. It was revealed in 2016 that there was a mass money laundering and tax evasion scheme set up. And Deutsche Bank, worth noting, is President Trump's largest lender. He reportedly owes hundreds of millions of dollars to the bank with real estate loans dating back like 20 years. So I'm just sort of interested in what the Germany Deutsche Bank raid might show and like just could be like an extra little thing that we can all have fun with at some point.
Yes. All right. Victoria's Secret, the provider of my high school bras. So there was an interview with Vogue on Thursday, and the marketing officer, Ed Razek, said, if you're asking if we've considered putting a transgender model on the show or looked at putting a plus-size model on the show, we have. We attempted to do a television special for plus sizes in 2000. No one had any interest in it. Still don't. Not true. Totally not true. Also really fucked up. And, you know, he went on to say that he would consider, casting a transgender model in the show. However, he didn't say anything to the point of plus size models. And they haven't had a transgender model in the show. So it's some hot garbage. And the thing is, like, it's not going to work for them anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, we see you, Victoria's Secret. Don't be little fucking assholes.
Otherwise, like, you'll just get left behind, you know? And that's fine with me.
It's not even good marketing at this point. Which is, like, it feels disingenuous for them to make the decision because of marketing. But at the same time, like, you're being shitty, mean, and stupid.
And bad at your job.
Yeah, you're just being bad at your job and mean. And so, like, ugh, pick a lane.
Oh, my
dick.
God. Yeah.
Ed.
Well, speaking of being bad at your job, Republican Chris Stewart defended Trump's dismissal of, like, all the CIA's findings about Saudi Arabia, you know, being responsible for Jamal Khashoggi's killing, saying that, quote, journalists disappear all over the world. Like, we see you. Like, are you fucking kidding? These types of stupid statements just, like, I mean, they happen all the time, but just sometimes they just, like, how stupid and inhumane, and you're terrible. You're a Republican from Utah. Do better.
Climate change. So there was a report that came out over Thanksgiving, very aptly timed, that sort of laid out all the terrible things that are probably going to happen. And it came from the current government, you know, from the experts within the government, of which there seem to be few.
Very few.
And then fucking Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out and said it wasn't based on facts. It was the most extreme version of what could possibly happen. blah, 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 blah. And then when you look at the actual data, it's like 300 different scientists. It was open for review before it was published by, so anyone who was an expert in the field could come in and be like, no, challenge it. But she just went out in line because that's what she does, and it's real, and we should also be worried about that, and it keeps me awake at night, so. Yay.
Great! How terrible.
How do you... Drive us home, baby.
Oh my gosh. Let's just go to a good thing. God.
Should we just do it?
Let's just go to good things.
Yeah, Michelle Obama?
Michelle Obama is kicking ass and taking names.
I love her so much. I need to read her new book.
Yeah. But recently we've been super into her press tour where she's just been getting real.
Mm-hmm.
She said at a panel, I think it was today, actually, that, quote, I have been at every powerful table you can think of. They are not that smart. Just talking about men at powerful tables.
Yeah, you don't need to be smart to get there, dudes. You just got to be somebody to somebody.
I think, like, part of the reason we have this podcast is even though we both are like, oh, do I have anything to say that anyone will care about? Mm-hmm. Then I remember that Trump is fucking president.
He's president. He never asked himself that question, man.
Yeah.
There's also a cute little ditty. Michelle Obama was on Colbert, and Common was on, and he did this like really lovely medley, combining glory with this with a jam that he did called "The Day That Women Took Over," and it just made me feel good inside. And she loved it. He loved it. And she's a fucking queen. I love her so much. She inspires me daily, and I need to read her book.
Yeah. And what did she say about leaning in? She said leaning in, like, sometimes shit doesn't work.
I think that's exactly what she said. She's like, sometimes like that shit doesn't work. And then she's like, I forgot where I was. I'm like, girl, it's always like, forget where you are.
Please I love say that
she feels like she can have this. She doesn't need to be so filtered anymore. She was actually talking on Colbert in the interview about how, as the first sort of black family in the White House, this need to be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
This need to meet these insane expectations. And I mean, I think that they met and exceeded them. And so it's just nice now to let her just be a person.
Yes.
Even though she was always very relatable and always a person, but, you know, she was more kind of guarded, I feel like. And now she can kind of just say things she wants to say, and she has a lot of things to say, and I want to hear everything she has to fucking say because I love her. So,
me too.
We love you.
We love you, Michelle Obama. Everything she says is so valuable, especially at this point when she's sort of like, fuck it.
Yeah, and she was talking about how she was like, her and Barack were like consoling their staff when Trump was elected. And, like, the fear that they had, you know, because they hired, you know, immigrants, people of color, and people in the LGBTQ community, and all, you know.
Yeah.
I sort of looked to them as this moral compass, as sort of the guy I think a lot of the country did while they're in office. And
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
I love her.
She's great.
I really want her to hug me.
Aww.
Oh, nice.
That would be great.
One day.
Well, that's a lovely, lovely thing to, lovely thought to end it on. Michelle hugs Obama from Michelle hugs. Obama.
Smell some peppermint, imagine her warm embrace. Nice little December evening, friends.
Alrighty. Well, good night, everyone.
Au revoir. Adios. Bye, bye, bye.